Amen. I thank God for a wife who walks with the Lord. Thank God for a wife that she's poured her heart and life into our children. And yet at the same time, been a wonderful wife to me. Some people, you know, there's a delicate balance there. Loving your children like you should and yet not neglecting your husband. You've got to remember the children are going to grow up and leave. And some ladies pour their lives into their children, then the children leave and their husband's a stranger. My wife, God has enabled her, and I believe it's because, of course, God's grace, God's mercy, but she grew up in a home. She grew up in a home. Her daddy is a preacher. Her mother, a wonderful pastor's wife, and she watched them serve God. And here's the power of a home, my friend. She never saw her mom and dad have an argument. She never heard them raise their voices and argue with one another in all her years in their home, growing up in their home. And you know, we set out to have a home like that. We set out to have a home that would honor God. And I thank the Lord for my wife. And I thank God that Jonathan is serving the Lord today. And I thank God that my son Sam is serving the Lord. I've still got two with me. And they're traveling with me. But for charity, it'll probably be just a matter of months. And she'll be married. She's right at the point of engagement. And so I won't have a singing family much longer. I don't know if we'll continue to go with Gabe, just the three of us, or what God would have us to do. But I know this, there is no greater joy than to know your children walk in truth. And I want to challenge you, if you have a child away from the Lord, if you have a child that's grown up and they've gone away from God, I'll tell you one thing I had to do with my son, who went astray for a while. For one thing, I had to apologize. I made a grave mistake when he was growing up. I believe in training up a child in the way he should go. But I tried so hard to press him into a mold to be exactly what I wanted him to be that I see it now. I did not see it then. But I see it now looking back that I was too demanding. Now, I think most parents are not too demanding, they're too lenient. There again, there's a delicate balance there of being too lenient or being too demanding on a child. Only the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit of God can show you what to do. And sometimes, maybe it's not so much the devil. I mean, the devil's after the firstborn, but you got to admit, that firstborn is experimental. That firstborn child's an experimental thing, training. And we had Jonathan 4 years before our second son came along. I made some mistakes. I really did. I wanted him to be another Jesus. And he'd go to school, our ACE Christian school. He'd get detention. And we put him in school when he was still 4 years old. And, you know, personally, I know that's a matter of opinion. But personally, I think that's too early to put a child in school. And we put him in. He was just about to turn 5, but we put him in there because he was smart. I mean, he had a brain, but he didn't have the character to handle the discipline in our very strictly disciplined school. So he'd get the demerits, and he'd bring home the detentions, and I'd take him to the back room, and I'd take that belt, and I'd wear him out, a 4-year-old. Because he didn't behave like an 8-year-old should have at school. I'm just sharing a little bit of my heart with you today. Some of you parents might be exactly where I was. And I'm not saying, I do believe in discipline. I believe strong in discipline. I'll tell you what, I believe in old Bill Rice's philosophy. Bill Rice, what a great preacher he was. He's a cowboy evangelist. The thing I admire about him, every one of his children are serving God. All of his sons preachers. His daughter married to a preacher, serving God. And Bill Rice, his philosophy was, and he preached the message, love them, lick them, and learn them. Love them, love the tar out of them. Lick them, that's a discipline. That's giving them a whipping when they need it. And learn them, that's education. Train them, teach them about God. And you put those three together, it ain't good English. But it's sure a good philosophy for training children. Love them, lick them, and learn them. But you know what number one is? Love them. That's number one. Love them. We did love our son. We loved him, and I spent time with him. And, you know, I've got notes that he wrote me. You're the greatest dad in the world. I love you. Big hearts on there. Up through his grade school years. But somewhere in high school, I lost his heart. And I didn't even know it. I lost his heart, and I didn't realize I'd lost it. I was busy. I was in the Sugar Grove Baptist Church, and I preached this morning in Sunday school. You can get too busy. You can get too busy. I was putting in 18-hour days sometimes at Sugar Grove. I was assistant pastor, deacon, adult Sunday school teacher, principal of the Christian school, a supervisor in the school. I mean, I was in ACE school. You know, you got supervisors, you got the principal. I was both. I'd have to tell the child, go to the office. Then I'd run ahead and have to get in the office when he got there. But it wasn't always like that. But, I mean, I wore so many hats, I didn't know which one I had on sometimes. But you know what the biggest hat was that I should have been wearing? That of a husband and a daddy. Now, I'll tell you what, one of the greatest preachers, my favorite preacher in America, my favorite preacher in this world, is my pastor, Larry Brown. How many of you ever heard Larry Brown preach? I love him. I love him. He's a born preacher. And I've heard him make the statement. He said, in my life, my wife is number one. My children are number two. My church is number three. My ministry of preaching, he preaches all over America, is number four. But he said, my wife, number one. And somebody here needs to hear that today. I don't know who it is, but somebody needs to hear that. My wife, number one. My children, number two. I know a man had a boy's home. He still has a boy's home. And he came to me and he said, I'm having trouble with my boy. I said, my brother, you better spend time with that boy. He said, well, I spend time with all of them. I said, yeah, but he's your son. And these other boys, maybe they don't have a dad, or maybe they couldn't get along with their dad, but he's your son. You better spend time with your son. He wrote me back and he said, I took your advice. It worked. And he said, I got his heart back. You were right. Spending time with my son. We better love him. But you know, when it's all said and done, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that can make up for all of our deficiencies. There's a God in heaven that can undo what we've done. And He can do what we have not done. There's a God in heaven that can make up the difference. And that God in heaven, we've watched Him work in the lives of our children. And I thank God for my children today. You know the prayer I prayed for Gabriel when he was a little baby. And you said, Brother Epley, good night. Do you know what time it is? Yeah, I know what time it is. And I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to hold you too long. What time do you normally get out, Brother Jerry? Quarter till and 12. You'll be out. You'll be out by that time. I'm just giving you my heart today. But my prayer for Gabe, and I believe in specific prayers for our children. My prayer for Gabe, I said, and you got to understand this, he was born about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was at the Owensboro, Kentucky hospital, and sitting in there filling out papers while a baby's about to be born. And you know, and my wife's up in the maternity. I'm down in the emergency room filling out papers. And the television was on. MTV. MTV. It was hellish. That stuff was blasting out. Every once in a while I'd glance up at it and see these ungodly beings on there, man or woman, I don't know, creature, whatever, singing this rock music just blaring out through that place. And I'll tell you, something came upon me. And I said, dear God, I don't know if this is going to be a boy or a girl. I don't know, but dear God, I pray that if this is a boy,
that he'll be a man of God. I pray, dear Lord, that he'll be a warrior for God and he'll spend his life fighting that. He'll fight sin and go through this life fighting the devil. I pray that he'll be a warrior for God. Well, it came time to name the child. My wife liked Luke. And I thought about Luke. That is a good name, Luke. But I tell you, I was reading my Bible and I came across that verse where it says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I thought, Gabriel standing in the presence of God. I just felt impressed to name him Gabriel. And I didn't know it. Gabriel means warrior of God. I did not know that. Gabriel means a man of God or a warrior for God. And we named him that. And I'll tell you what, Gabe has got this warfare mentality. He loves martial arts. He loves Doug Castle down the road because Doug Castle knows martial arts. He loves to wrestle. He loves not pick a fight and get in a brawl, but he just loves to wrestle around and play fight and all that, and loves to punch on a punching bag, loves to kick and all that thing. He just loves it. He loves that. So I've got the warrior part. Now, the warrior of God, that's yet to come. He's been saved, and he reads his Bible, and he prays. But I'm waiting for that day when he turns both barrels on the devil and turns loose and gives the devil all he wants and is a warrior for God. And in a way, he's already a warrior for God, standing up here singing for God, playing his instruments for God, and fighting the devil in that way. And I appreciate Gabe, and I don't want to embarrass him today. I'm just telling you a little bit today about our children. And the devil will fight us every step of the way. I want you to turn today in your Bible, and mindful of the time, I'm going to preach about 10 or 15 minutes, give you a thought that's on my heart today, and we'll be done. I'm watching the time today. I remember at Sugar Grove, we had our children's church, and I was a children's church preacher for a while there. And I remember one day we had a missionary who came, turned the book of Psalms, just anywhere, it's all good. No, turn to Psalm 105. And we had this missionary come, and that guy preached till about 1 o'clock. I'm telling you, he just kept preaching. He was a good preacher, but I kept singing, you know, Jesus loves me. We got away, and let's play a game. And these children, they needed to go. Finally, I gathered up all the children. We went in the back of the church, and you could hear that guy in there preaching. It's coming up on 1 o'clock. And I mean, moms and dads wondering where their children are. And I'm mindful of that, brother. I've been there, all right? I'm not going to keep you too long today. But I want to read Psalm 105. I'm telling you, my friend, God has seized my heart with the thoughts of thanksgiving. And we're heading into the Christmas season, but as I said last night, don't let go of Thanksgiving. As we go into the Christmas season, let's take Thanksgiving right with us into this season and be a thankful people. It pleases God. Look at Psalm, if you will, Psalm 105. I'll ask you to stand. We'll read one verse, have prayer, let you be seated. Psalm 105. I thank God God's already been here today, aren't you? I thank God He's already been here. And if I can put a little icing on the cake, praise God. Might have been we just should have broke loose and just had a prayer meeting the rest of the day. I don't know. But it's preaching time and I want to preach a little bit. Psalm 105, look at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Father, I pray now You'd bless this short message, but still, Lord, make it powerful, make it sweet, make it wonderful. Touch our hearts again, Lord. You've already touched our hearts today about prayer, about our children. And dear God, You've already met with us, and we thank You and praise You today for that. But now, dear God, help me as I preach a little in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you will, turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Now you're going to have to be quick. I'm going to be preaching 90 miles an hour with gusts up to 120. So I want you to stay with me. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now turn to Psalm 107. Psalm, by the way, I start every day in the book of Psalms. I recommend it to you. you want to have a thankful heart, if you want to have a heart of praise, go get up in the morning and go to Psalms and read some in the Psalms and ask God to warm your heart and fill your heart with thanksgiving. It'll do something for you. Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." I don't even have this on, brother. I'm going to turn this on. I might move around a little bit. And by the way, if I could have a copy of this for my mother, I'd appreciate it. She's 89, lives without a TV, lives in an apartment by herself, and lives on the sword of the Lord, revival fires, preaching that I send her, reading her Bible, going to church. That's my mom's life. And I wish you could meet her today. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Psalm 118, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." And Psalm 136 says the same thing. Psalm 136, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." It's Christmas time. It's giving time. And all of us today are thinking, what can I give? What can I give my wife? What can I give my husband? What can I give my children? What can I give my dad? What can I give grandma and grandpa? What can I give my best friend? What can I give my pastor? Hey, let's think about God. What can we give God? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Give Him thanks. This is the giving season. I like it. I like that tree. I like those lights. I like to sit in a dark room and just look at those lights on the tree. I like those presents under there. I mean, especially when I know one's for me. Amen. I like it, my friend. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But I still like to receive. I'm still in a body of flesh, you know. I still like to receive. But it is more blessed to give, and I enjoy that more. But and some of you kids say, no way, no way. As you get older, you'll find it is more blessed. But it's giving season. And as every time we think about giving, let's think about this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto God. Yesterday, driving through the ice. I mean, ice was falling. Our van was it was like a cocoon of ice. All around us, I stopped to get gas, and there was ice covering the gas tank, and we were just driving through the ice. I'd stop and beat those windshield wipers and try to get them clean, drive a few more miles. But you know what? Through all of that, because back at Thanksgiving, God has led me into these thoughts and reading the Bible, and I'm reading sermons about Thanksgiving. Still, I was going through that ice, thanking God. It could be worse. We passed a van about our size up on its side. I thought, that could have been me. That could have been me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I'm riding along here in an ice storm in a hurry trying to get, but at least I'm going to a wonderful place. I'm going to Jasonville. Amen. I'm going to see my friend Jerry Ross and the good people of Blessed Hope. Thank God I've got a good destination if I ever get there. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I've got a good woman sitting beside me. My sweet wife, she loves me, and I love her. After 30 years, we still enjoy marriage. Standing at pastor school one year, the theme was on marriage. And they had a sign up there, "Happy Marriage." And a poor guy was standing beside me and said, "I never knew those two words went together. But I'll tell you what, I thank God. I've got a happy marriage. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm happy in my marriage." Had two children sitting beside me. Two children, a 20-year-old daughter who is not breaking my heart, a 17-year-old boy not breaking my heart. I've got a lot to be thankful for. I was in good health. Yeah, I was driving through ice. I was struggling. I mean, there's a strain, there's a mental pressure upon you when you're just trying to stay on the road and not run into somebody and not slide off the road. But listen, I was driving in a van that had been blessed of God. I was, at least I could drive. How many people today would love to get up out of a bed of affliction and just get behind the wheel of a car and just drive and just look around some? There are people that can't do that. There's a lot to be thankful for today. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Keep that heart of thanksgiving. Cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. I mean, work at it. Work at saying thank you. You teenagers ought to say a lot of thank yous to mom and dad. You know what? Nothing wrong with a mom and dad saying thank you to a teenager. Say thank you for living the life you live. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for being a good son or a daughter. And nothing wrong with that at all. You men ought to thank your boss for the job we got. You say, wait a minute, brother. You don't know my job. You don't know my job. I'm just enduring to the end. You ought to thank God you can work. You ought to thank God you can make some money and provide for your family. You ought to go to your boss Monday and say, I just want to thank you for this job. I mean, when you eat at a restaurant, thank the waitress, thank the people that wait on you, thank the people that take your money. They're taking my money! Yeah, but at least they're there to do it. You ever get made to pay and there's nobody there and you're waiting around? Thank God they're there! Amen! Thank God for people that wait on you and serve you. We ought to have a thankful heart. We ought to thank everybody! And above all, thank our God. Cultivate that thankful heart. Husbands, you ought to thank your wife for that meal that she cooked. Thank her for a clean house. Has she put up some Christmas decorations? Have you thanked her for a beautiful home? And wife, have you thanked your husband for a roof over your head? Have you thanked your husband that he provided for you? He goes out and works and makes a living for all the things that you have. Have you thanked him for that? Have you thanked him for being a good husband? There ought to be gratitude flowing through our homes, flowing in our churches. How long has it been since you just went up to your pastor and said, thank you for being a good pastor. Thank you for preaching the Word of God. Sometimes it stings. Sometimes it stings like a doctor's needle, but sometimes we need the doctor's needle. And sometimes we need a stinging message from the Word of God. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for your brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to just thank God for everybody. We ought to be friendly to everybody. I know a preacher, he said his dad was a sheriff. And he waved at everybody. Said he's riding down the road with his dad one day, and his dad waved at a dog. Said they drove along, he said, did I wave at that dog? But I'll tell you what, at least he was a friendly man. I'll tell you, we ought to be thankful, my friend. Even our old dog will wag his tail and show some appreciation, you know it? Thank God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You might say, well, Brother Epley, I'm in a valley. Man, you don't know what's going on in my life. You really don't. You don't know what I'm going through. I know that, but we all have times like that. We all have some dark times. But do you know one of the sweetest verses on Thanksgiving in the Bible is in Psalm 69, where David was in a deep, dark valley. David was down in the valley, and David said, I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. You see, when we praise God and we thank God, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but when we thank God, it magnifies God. This old world is trying to minimize God. This old world out there, the ACLU and all their cohorts, they don't even want us put up a manger scene. They want Christ out of everything. They want the public schools to just say it's the winter holiday, not Christmas with Christ in it. They're trying to minimize God. My friend, I want to magnify God. I want to exalt my God. And thanksgiving will help us to do that. I mean, when you're paying for your gas and it's sleeting outside and it's cold, it's bitter cold, and everybody's got a complaint, you ought to step up, pay for your gas, and say, thank God he's been good to me. Witness to somebody. Hand them a gospel tract. And thank God while you're at it and praise the Lord. You say, well, I'm in a deep, dark valley. I want to read you something here. Here's a young man who's in prison. He's in his mid-20s. He hadn't been with his wife in a room alone for 4 years. She comes to visit him in the prison. His name's Joshua Thompson. This young man was accused of beating a boy, and all they did, they took a boy, him and his brother, and they took a switch to him, and they disciplined him. He was a boy that came to their church. They realize now, in the day we live in, they should not have even done that. But the mother had asked them to do it. Said, he won't mind, he won't behave. They put a switch to that boy, and the parents came back with a $1 million lawsuit and won. Those boys are in prison in Texas tonight. Been there 4 years. And I just got this letter from Joshua Thompson. He said, I'd love to be able to share one day with each of you inside these walls and let you see the loving favor of Father and His children. I wish you could experience the love and kindness we've enjoyed daily from His hand. Experience the acts of kindness given us from the cold and hardened hearts of lost men. If I could go back and change the past and the years of imprisonment, I would not change one. This is unbelievable. I would not change one single moment and the experiences I've had with time, with Christ. I have fallen hard, I've made mistakes, I've sinned, yet He has forgiven me each time and renewed my joy and fellowship with Him. Here's a man praising God from a prison cell, my friend. You say, what about his brother? He was put in prison too. He's in prison, in another prison in Texas. Just got this letter from him. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. He said, he talks about praise. He said, praise is more powerful than all the forces of hell. Praise confounds the adversaries' treacherous schemes. Praise extinguishes the fiery darts of the wicked. Praise commands the angelic armies to action. This honor have all his saints, to thank God and praise God with a continued sacrifice of thanksgiving from a prison cell. How bad do you have it today? How bad do you have it today, my friend? We all have dark valleys, but we ought to praise God in the valley. Exalt God in the valley. That's when the world sees that it's real. That's when the world realizes we've got something they don't have. When even in the dark times we can thank our God and have something to be thankful for. Oh, I'll tell you today, we need a revival of thanksgiving. You might need it in your heart today. You might need it in your home. I'm going to wind up today and just quote a verse out of 2 Corinthians, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That's the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave us Jesus to be our Savior. He is the Savior. When I was 15 years old, I made Him my Savior. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I knelt at an altar and the tears flowed down my face. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm wicked, but I want you to save my... I was only 15, but I was wicked. And God had convicted me. And I cried out and I said, Lord, save my soul. And that night, Jesus saved me. And that night, my life changed. I looked around, I loved everybody in that building. And I'll tell you, there were people there I didn't like at all when I walked in that building. But before I left that night, the love of God had come in, the Spirit of God, and I loved everybody. And the Lord will do that for you. And I walked outside in the night air and I knew I was going to heaven. Jesus had saved my soul. And He wants to save you today. You know He died on the cross. You know that He rose from the dead. You know that He came out of that grave and He's a risen Savior. But there's more than just believing that. You have to take that next step and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. This would be a wonderful day for you to do that. This would be a wonderful day. If you've done that, would you just say amen? They all agree with me. It'd be a wonderful day. And all the saints of God would rejoice. If you're not saved, you come today and be saved. Brother Ross, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you for your attention. Thank you. You're a wonderful congregation.